Nuketown Radioactive, number 28, for April 10th, 2006.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Folks, welcome to Nuketown Radioactive. I am your host, Ken Newquist, and I need the freaking A-Team. Actually, I don't really need the A-Team. The A-Team, when they show up, have a tendency to, you know, convert mass transit into armored vehicles, and the next thing you know, they're just blowing up a whole bunch of stuff. And I really don't need my house blown up. What I actually need is a group of highly trained individuals who will come and fix everything that is wrong with my house right now, and undertake all of my home improvements. And get my freaking email working on Nuketown and restore the Atomic Age blog, which I accidentally deleted from Blogger, and, you know, paint my daughter's room. I mean, honestly, is that asking too much from a group of superpowered individuals? I think not. I think not. If they can save the world, they can at least paint my house, right? If you can't tell, it has been a long kind of exhausting, a little bit frustrating 2 weeks here at Nuketown. And the apocalypse, which we foresaw, is upon us. The gaming room is no more. My hideout of 7 years is now being converted into my daughter's room. And this involves getting all of my gaming stuff out of there, which of course is an adventure in and of itself. I now have half of this crap up in my office, unpacked, and just taking up an obscene amount of space. And the rest of it's down in the dining room, also taking up a huge amount of space, awaiting being repackaged into Tupperware containers for long-term storage, with the hope that eventually it will be unpackaged on some far-off, distant day when I have a gaming room again. Now, inevitably, one of the things about home improvement, at least for me, is that it always gives rise to these sort of stranger in a strange land moments, when I realize just how geeky I am in relation to the normal person. For example, I went to Home Depot to get a sander. Sander is a fairly large, heavy-duty piece of equipment. Very manly. You know, it's the kind of thing that you get and say, "Wow, this is a power tool." So I get the thing, and I'm renting it, and I'm signing all the paperwork, and getting ready to leave when they ask, "Well, sir, do you have a 20-amp circuit on your circuit breaker?" Now, as a geek, if someone were to ask me if I'm a god, I would say yes. Even though I'm not actually a god, I know that that's the right answer, because I have spent way too much time watching Ghostbusters and have memorized just about every line. And plus, it's just the right answer. I mean, if somebody asks you if you're a god, you say yes. If somebody asks you if you have a 20-amp circuit, I don't know what you say, because I don't even know if I have one. And this is after spending $1,300, $1,500 getting the circuit breaker fixed. So I just looked at the guy and said, "I don't know." And I said, you know, we had some work done on the circuit breaker. He said, you probably have a 20-amp circuit. I'm sure you'll be fine. So I get the thing home, I plug it in, And immediately it trips the circuit. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is how I learned how you figure out exactly how many amps each of the circuits in your circuit breaker can handle. See, if you go downstairs and you look at the circuit breaker, you peel open the little door and you see all the little switches. And normally on most circuit breakers, when the circuit trips, the little switch goes to the side. Well, if you look on that switch, there's a number on it. Two-digit number. Probably 10, 15, or 20. I'm sure some houses go more. And I'm not sure if everybody has these numbers, but I'm assuming you do. Anyway, you look at these circuits and you look at these numbers, and that's the number of amps that each circuit can handle. So, using my superior deductive reasoning skills, I figured out that, hey, our second floor bedroom can handle this. So, thankfully, the folks at Home Depot had the foresight. This is what we call in the business foreshadowing, to give me a extension cord, which I then proceeded to use to plug into the bedroom and actually get the sander going. And after that, it was actually pretty straightforward. It took me about 3 hours to get the whole thing sanded. It took me another day after that to get the polyurethane / stain put down. And then another day after that to fix my mistakes when I realized that, hey, you know, putting polyurethane down at like 10 o'clock at night, not the brightest idea because it's actually kind of hard to see, especially when you have to take the room's only light source out of the room with you as you're slowly working your way through the room. And then this past weekend, I got to spend a good chunk of it basically doing nothing but painting. We, on Saturday, my friend Nate and I got together and he helped me just scrape everything down, get it ready to go. Then Saturday night I started putting the primer up. All day Sunday we put the next coat of primer up. And I have a little bit more scraping to do because we found out that, oops, some of the paint was flicking off of one of the doors. But we only realized that after I started to paint it. Because to look at the door, it was fine. But once I actually put a roller to the door, paint started falling off. So I have a little bit more work to do. But, you know, I'm thinking it's probably going to be another weekend, maybe another 2 weekends to get it done. But it's still fitting within the schedule. I think we'll get back to it after Easter. We've got, let's see, the baby is due June 10th. I'd like to get this done by the end of April, so I think it's all doable. The plus side, folks, is that I got to listen to a heck of a lot of podcasts, and that's actually what the lion's share of this podcast is actually going to be about once I get, you know, done with bitching about my home improvement projects. There's a couple of other things I wanted to mention, just stuff that's up on Nuketown, stuff that's going on. I've posted a review of the soundtrack for the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which you can get to through the show notes. The link is up on Nuketown. And the other thing that's going on Nuketown right now is that I'm experimenting with different designs for the homepage. This is actually Nuketown's 10th year. The podcast is only going on 1 year, if you can believe that. But the site itself has been around for 10 years come June. So I really wanted to... I've been working on the redesign of the site for a while, and I really want to mix things up. And this new site is a little bit more web-zine-y. It's got a nice big picture on it, which I think would... It's just going to make you feel a little bit more of your traditional sci-fi-ishness. You know, a little bit more omni, a little less blog. So there's a link to that on the site proper. You can also check it out in the show notes. And, you know, take a look at the designs. Tell me what you think.
This show is part of the Out of This World Entertainment on the Sci-Fi Podcast Network, tsfpn.com.
So, as always, the upside to my home improvement is that I get to get caught up in my podcasts, which, you know, it's just awesome. I listen to a whole bunch of them, although the first thing I had to do was actually figure out how to solve a little problem with my iPod Shuffle, because it crashed. Never actually had it crash before, at least not like this. And what I determined was basically how you reset an iPod Shuffle is that you turn it off, you let it sit for 5 seconds, you turn it back on again, and then it works. So after that little bit of a snafu was out of the way, I got to listening to my podcasts, which was, like I say, just, you know, just great. It really helps pass the time when you're spending hours after hours painting. The first podcast I listened to, which was something of a surprise, was Brick Nebula number 14. Not a surprise so much that I was listening to it, but a surprise so much that a new one had come out. The guys do a Star Wars slash sci-fi slash Legos podcast, and the last one came out in January, and I just hadn't heard from them in a long time. So it was great to see this new show up in my feed. I was happy they're back. They spent the show talking about upcoming Batman Lego sets, which was very cool because I didn't even know that the freaking things were coming out, and I could definitely use some Batman Legos for my office. The other cool thing was they spent a fair amount of time talking about Lego robotics, which is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. They started talking about both the old Lego Mindstorms and the new kit that's coming out, and just some of their experiences with Lego robotics in college, which, or actually, I guess it was in a master's program. But overall, fun podcast. Definitely enjoyed listening to it. And on a related note, my Lego B-Wing arrived this week, and I've happily built it. That was my downtime after painting, you know, spending the entire weekend painting, was building my B-Wing, which is very cool, and sitting on my desk as we speak. So I will be sure to post some photos to the, I'll post some photos with the show notes. Yeah, you know what, guys, it's getting kind of late, so bear with me. Next up, we had Gamer the Podcasting number 11, which you can see at www.somniturn.com/DTP. I'm not even going to attempt to try and pronounce this properly again, so you can get the link through the show notes. This was the first time I had checked out the podcast after hearing about it kind of ad nauseum on other podcasts, and it wasn't what I was expecting. I really wasn't expecting a conversation about live-action role-playing, but it was fun to listen to, particularly since they discussed the live-action version of Fading Suns, which is one of the few non-D&D games that my group has actually played. Non-D&D, but not non-D20, because we played the D20 version of Fading Suns, which I know some Fading Suns people will consider sacrilege. But, you know, I'm not that much into live role-playing. I don't know if I'll keep listening to Gamer the Podcasting, but from what I understand, they actually do a mix. They don't always do live action, so we'll see. I think I'll keep them in my feed for a little while longer. Next up, we got Roll 2D6 number 9, which you can check out at www.roll2d6.com with numbers, with the actual numbers for 2 and 6. The guys did a review of Battleground Fantasy Warfare, which is a card-based war game, which I know, I mean, listening, you know, a card-based war game, are you kidding me? But it sounds really cool, particularly the semi-autonomous nature of the units in the games. Basically, from what they described, you put your units in action and you give them kind of general commands, like, go here, attack any units that come close. So it's a little bit more, it sounds almost like a little bit more like a real-time computer game, where you're just giving general orders and hoping the units will carry them out the way you want them to. So that was pretty cool. I definitely want to keep an eye out for that. And if I can see it at my local store, I think I'll pick up a pack. Next up, we had Jonathan Colton, Thing a Week number 28. I've actually been listening to a lot of Jonathan Colton stuff for a while now. I got one of his albums about 2 weeks ago, and I've just been kind of listening to it almost nonstop. I've really been enjoying it. And actually, I'm going to be dedicating probably Radioactive number 30 to reviewing some of his stuff. But he's got this cool idea called Thing a Week, where basically he records a new song every week, and you can subscribe to it via RSS, and then you get it downloaded. And it's pretty cool. Actually, it's so cool that I really need to go to his site and give him a donation, because, I mean, I feel a little guilty because I'm enjoying his stuff, and while I did buy an album, I feel like I need to do more than that. This week's song was, It was different from what I've heard him do before. It was an a cappella breakup song, which was surprisingly sad, but really, really quite good. now, Jonathan Colton, you may have heard him talked about on other podcasts, like Geek Fu Action Grip, and he showed up on Random Signal at one point. And he's kind of known for his geek music, particularly with songs like Skullcrusher Mountain, which is about an evil genius who finds a woman on his mountain and wants to make her his girlfriend. Make her his girlfriend. You know, so to hear him talking about like kind of like this a cappella breakup song was just kind of unusual. But, you know, another one of his songs from, I guess about 2 weeks ago, for Thing a Week was RE, Your Brain, which was about a zombified office worker. So, you know, I don't mind if he mixes it up. I don't mind a little bit of the geek zombie music with the kind of sad breakup song music. So, all in all, good stuff. Check it out. It's at www.jonathancolton.com. Link, of course, in the show notes. Next up, and yeah, man, are you starting to get a feel for how much time I spend on this room? Because I listen to a lot of freaking podcasts, and I'm not realizing just quite how many I listen to until I sit here and talk about them all. Next up was All Games Considered, which in which Mark and Chris were joined via Skype by Martin Ralia of Treasure Tables for an episode about game mastering, which, you know, that was really cool. I was looking forward to listening to this one. I knew it was going to show up in the shuffle. And, you know, I talked about Treasure Tables a while back, and I've really enjoyed reading Martin's posts, and it's always cool, at least I think it's cool, to hear the voice of someone whom you've been reading for a while, and to try and reconcile the real voice with the voice that's in your head. So that was fun. They spent some time talking about different gaming systems that a beginning GM might encounter, namely Dungeons & Dragons, GURPS, Palladium, and World of Darkness. And, I mean, to be honest, they could have spent a little bit more time on show prep just to have a better feel for exactly, you know, what the rules were, because they were kind of relying on their memories for it. But, hey, you know what? Minor criticism. Overall, really good episode. And it gave rise to a really good idea, which was changing up the gaming table by placing the game master in the middle of the table rather than at the end of the table. Which, you know, with the gaming room gone and now the dining room table taking over as our new home, I'm thinking that this might be a good time to kind of mix things up, put me in the middle of the table, see how it goes. It definitely has some advantages, because if you're in the middle of the table, you can actually reach the battle map a lot faster. You're right in the middle of all the people. You can talk to everybody really easily. You know, people might be a little less inclined to be distracted. You know, overall, I think it's a good idea, so I'm definitely looking forward to trying to check it out. Next up was Comicology, number 64. Now, Neil Gorman's Comicology is one of my favorites. He's one of the reasons why I got into podcasting. And, you know, I was really looking forward to catching up on my Comicologies. The thing is, he took kind of a different turn. He decided to focus on one character for three podcasts, which was the Martian Manhunter. And, you know, I think it's a cool idea to do this kind of in-depth focus, though I kind of wish he'd done the focus and done a review, like, in the same episode, rather than being entirely focused on the character for three. But, you know what, some of these were bonus episodes, so it really, you know, probably all balances out in the end. So I listened to number 64, kind of took a break from 65 and 66, because I'm just not that interested in Martian Manhunter. And I'm looking forward to, well, I'm always looking forward to Comicology, so I'll be right there waiting for 67 to show up. And then finally, the last podcast I was listening to was Random Signal. Jason has posted two podcasts within a week of another, which, you know, just, you know, good for you, Jason. I know how hard it is to get these things out, and, you know, I applaud you for getting out two in a week's time. He discusses Survive, which is an awesome board game from the 1980s, and I had to go to his blog and actually post about it, because I really enjoyed this game, and I had a chance to play it with my friends, sometime last year. Now, my friends are actually pretty cutthroat when it comes to board games, and I think it was a fun game. I mean, in Survive, you can get the full rundown by actually listening to Random Signal number 34, but basically you're on an island. The island is about to explode. You need to get your villagers off the island. However, you are complicated by your efforts are complicated by the fact that there are whales, sharks, and sea monsters in the waters ready to smash your boats and eat your people. And, you know, it was fun as a kid. It was more fun as an adult, because my friends and I are so freaking cutthroat when it comes to board games. Or we can be so cutthroat when it comes to board games. So, overall, a lot of fun. The other cool thing was Jason was talking about a recent obsession of mine, rather an ongoing obsession of mine, let's not fool ourselves here, which would be Lost, and specifically the lockdown episode of Lost. And it was cool to hear him theorizing about what he thinks is going on there. I don't necessarily agree, but it was definitely a fun listen. And he's got some great music. I mean, I think that's the one thing about Jason's podcast that I really love the most, and I'd love to see more of us geeky people doing, is putting more music in. You know, it's great to just actually, you know, listen to some of the stuff. You know, his tastes go to the indie scene, and I'm not always into indie music, but, you know, it just always puts a smile on my face when I'm walking to work and I'm listening to the podcast, and then it breaks out into this song that I haven't heard before, and I really haven't heard before, and I would never have heard it if I hadn't listened to Random Signal. So, that's just cool.
You must be listening to the Goblin Broadcast Network at gbn.com. Amazing!
So, folks, that'll about do it for this edition of Radioactive. Yeah, there's no book review this time around, and there's no game review this time around, but I really just wanted to kind of get a podcast out, get talking, do something a little bit more geeky than, you know, Home Improvement. So, I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any comments, and we're always looking for comments, you can send them to me at nuketown@gmail.com, or you can Skype me, my username is Nuketown, or you can check out the forum at tsfpn.com. The link will be in the show notes. And that's it for now, folks. I will be getting another podcast out pretty soon, and by that I mean I actually have the freaking show notes done. So that's always the most time-consuming part for me, so I will really be getting 29 out, probably within the next week or so. So until then, have fun, be geeky, and I'll talk to you later.